Is that better now?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you for all your funny faces. That helped me to know you couldn't hear. Anyway, good morning and welcome to worship here in the church. Welcome to worship in Littlewood Court. And anybody who's joining us online at home now and at a later date, welcome. And we hope you enjoy worshiping with us this morning. Just a few announcements this morning. Some are on your sheet, some are in addition. This morning, as you can see, it's harvest, and we're going to have a retiring collection, and this is for the Inverurie Food Bank. And just to tell you a little bit about Inverurie Food Bank, it's been going since 2013, and the year was when the food bank opened. Last year, 1,683 three-day emergency food supplies were given to people in crisis. And last year also, 3,514 people across North Aberdeenshire were fed through Inverurie Food Bank. So a very worthwhile cause. Please, if you are able, put something in the plate as you leave the church. Prayer after the service this morning will be Rita and myself, and we'll be over in the side under the side gallery. Instead of the shoe boxes for Blythswood this year, a decision has been made in the Good Morning group, you can agree or disagree with us, that for a variety of reasons we're not going to do them. What we'd like to do instead, and when you invite you to join us, is to collect men's hats and gloves in either black or blue to go to the homeless people and the people who sit on the streets in Aberdeenshire. They will be distributed through street pastors. So if you would like to contribute hats and gloves, men's, because that will fit everybody, and black and blue is what they will wear. So if you would like to contribute, then I'm probably the contact person or anybody in Good Morning group. Thank you. Just a note to bring to your attention that the men's group on the 22nd of October has Sheila Mitchell coming to speak. Now, those of us in Good Morning who heard her speak a few weeks ago would recommend all you men go and hear her. She is very interesting, her work as a minister and as a hospital chaplain. Our next Super Sunday is on October the 27th, when we start at 10 a.m. and there will be the Sunday Explorers up in the church centre. We will worship here and we will join together for a Sunday lunch.
Names will be taken next week.
Names next week. Ishbel or somebody will have a list.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also, a little bit further ahead, on the 16th of November, the Paradise Express is going to be doing an evening of music, fun, laughter in the church centre. So come along, bring your own whatever you want to drink, your own nibbles, come and have a fun evening. Leave all your troubles behind you and come and laugh. There is no charge for this, but I think there will be a basket for donations during the evening. I'm also asked to remind you, please will you spare a few minutes to either online or on paper fill in the Kirk News survey, as this is going to help those who continue to produce the Kirk News. I think that's everything, apart from Thursdays. Thursday mornings, prayer, 10 o'clock. As you're probably aware, several people are indisposed, so we are asking all of you to join with us at 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you can just stop in the middle of making your cake, digging your garden, or whatever you're doing, and just pray for the church and for the presence of God in this village, and for Joshua and Heather on their holiday. Thank you. The rest of the intimations you'll find on your sheet. I'm not going to go through them all, you've had enough. Let's quietly sing and reflect on being with each other in God's presence as we worship together. You may want to sit for this first song.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you today for the gift of harvest. We thank you for your provision in our lives. As you feed the birds of the air, so you also feed us. We thank you for the fertile land on which we grow our crops and graze our animals. We thank you for the strength you give to our farmers to carry out their work. We thank you for the gift of rain and sunshine that brings life and growth to all things. We thank you for all of the people who play a part in bringing food to our tables. Lord, in all of these things, you have provided for us. Lord, we thank you not only for the harvest of our foods, but also for the harvest of your kingdom. You are the God who causes righteousness and praise to sprout up over all the earth. We thank you for gathering us into your kingdom as the farmer gathers his crop at harvest. We thank you for the growth you have brought in our lives, our love, our joy, our peace, our patience. All of the fruit that we bear comes from you, and it is for your glory. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring growth and bear fruit in our lives. Would your Holy Spirit cause us to abound in love for you and for our neighbor? Lord, we trust not in our own efforts to bear this fruit, but only in the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives in us. Lord, would you also call and equip us to join you in the harvest of your kingdom? Lord, you are drawing all people to yourself. You are gathering all things together in Christ. Would you lead us to join you in this harvest? Lord, as we continue together in worship this morning, would you draw us into your presence, and would you cause righteousness and praise to spring up in this room? Would you open up our hearts and our minds as you sow the seed of your word this morning? Would your word take root in us, and would your fruit abound in our lives to your glory? And would you fill Noel with your Holy Spirit as she joins you in the sowing of your word this morning? We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who, when we pray, taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, David. We're going to sing again. It's a hymn that you will be familiar with the tune, but you will notice the words are a little different.
we plough the fields with tractors. It's perhaps a little more in keeping with modern agriculture.
Okay, folks, now, do you know what we're celebrating today?
Harvest.
Harvest, yes. Now, what kind of things have we got here on the harvest table? What kind of things have we got?
Vegetables.
Vegetables, bread, yes.
Fruit.
And fruit. Now, I brought a little basket from my own garden. This is my own harvest, just for a bit of fun. What have I got?
A cucumber?
It's not a cucumber, actually. It looks like a cucumber. Does anybody know what it is?
A pickle?
No, you can pickle it. Lovely answers. No? It's a courgette. Or in America, it's zucchini. They grew in my garden this year, which was very unusual. I usually have to keep them in the greenhouse. What else have I got? Tomatoes, well done. What else have I got? Some very skinny little things. Do you know what they are? Do you know what that is? The gardeners among you will be laughing. No, it's not an onion. It's actually a beetroot. My beetroots did not do very well this year. However, do you eat these at all?
They're peas.
They're like peas. They're not actually peas.
They have peas inside.
No, they have beans inside. Oh, these are called runner beans. They don't run around the garden. They just grow. But they taste very nice. Now, I would like you to think a little bit beyond these kind of things, and I want you both all to have a look. Now, there's three on each side, so there's a mirror for you. Just hang on to it for a minute, and a mirror for you. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to look in the mirror and see what you see, and then hand it to the next person. Don't say anything, all right? What do you see in the mirror? Hold it right. Now, do you see something? Will you pass it on to the next person? And when you see something, pass it on to the next person. Now then, what did you see?
Our faces.
And what did you see?
Me.
And what did you see?
Same.
Same. And what did you see?
Me.
Lewis?
Carrots.
You saw carrots? Gosh, that's a very funny face you've got. Annabelle, what did you see?
Me.
Me. Now, would you like to go to David and show him see what he sees? And Daniel, would you like to take the mirror to Rita? Rita, put your hand up, please, and see what she sees in the mirror. And tell her to ask him what he sees.
I see me too.
Right. And what did Rita see?
Herself.
She saw herself too. Now, as well as all these beautiful things that we have grown in our gardens, we've brought for harvest, we also bring ourselves this morning. And God would like to use each one of you in a special way. Do you think you're good at doing things? Do you think you have special gifts that God has given you? No? Can I make a suggestion? As you walk down the street, smile at people. That's a special gift that God has given you, a smile. Have you ever thought about that? It's amazing how many people smile back. I have a little granddaughter, and when we go out for a walk, sometimes we have to do the crab walk. And sometimes we have to do the penguin walk. And sometimes we have to do hop, skip, jump. And you know, that makes people smile. It really makes for a better day for them. So if you walk down the street tomorrow on your way to school or nursery, smile and see how many people smile back. That's a special gift that each one of us has, which we can give to others. Thank you. Would you like to go back and sit with your parents now? And to take that theme a little further, we're going to sing, I Want to Be a Tree That's Bearing Fruit.
I want to be a tree that's bearing fruit, like one that's pruned and close to shoot. Oh, up in the sky so fair. Love that chorus. Like the bit about Sainsbury's. How does that get into church? Okay. Okay then. So the Bible readings today, there's two of them. The first is in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and it's on page 279 if you want to follow it in the Pew Bible. So chapter 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. You will be carrying three young goats, three loaves of bread, and another skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God. I'm not sure that's how that word is pronounced, but bear with me. Where there is a Palestine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these things are fulfilled, do whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived in Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. With all those who had formerly known him, saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this? What is happening to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man who lived here answered, "And who is their father?" So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where have you been?" "Looking for the donkeys," he said. But when they saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, "Then me, what Samuel did you see? Tell me, what did Samuel said to you?" Saul replied, "He assured us that the donkeys had been found. But he did not tell uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship." Samuel summoned the people of the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, "This is what the Lord of God of Israel says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God, who saves you out of all your calamities and distresses. You have said, 'No, set a king over us.' So now present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and clans. When Samuel brought all his tribes of Israel near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan. And the Matri clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord said, "Yes, he has hidden himself amongst the baggage." They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among them, the people, his head was taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all of the people." Then the people shouted, "Long live the king." Samuel explained to the people the regulations of kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited them before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the Lord, each to his own home. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. But some troublemakers said, "How can this fellow save us?" They despised him and brought him no gifts. But Saul kept silent. And now into the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, it's verses 35 to 38, and you'll find this on page 974 if you want to read along with me. So, chapter 9, 35. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this field." I think we need the help of the Spirit to really fully understand how all of these words apply to us today. Amen.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes, it's all about the Lord. So let's join together as we sing "When the Music Fades."
Is my heart you have before?
Father, may this time of exploring your word open our eyes and our hearts to what you're saying this morning. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at Saul being made king as God responds to the pleas from the Israelites for a king. You remember last week how we explored that. I'm also going to pose you three questions this morning. I don't have the answers, but I hope that each of you will ponder and think and maybe even discuss with each other these questions. So last week we heard how Israel demanded a king and how Samuel talked to the Lord about this. And God told him that the Israelites were rejecting him, the Lord, and not Samuel, by wanting a king. They were walking away from God. They were walking away from trusting him. And they wanted to be the same as the other nations around them. And this walking away from God is a feature through the Old Testament as we follow the Israelites on their journey with God. And it's probably the same kind of story for each of us. We walk with God, we fall away. We walk with God, we fall away and come back. But God is faithful, and God is always there to receive us back and help us to move on our journey with him. The Israelites had been warned what a king might do, that he might take their sons and daughters to be in armies and as servants and all sorts of things. You may remember this from last week. And this king would not be exactly like the compassionate God who'd brought them out of Egypt and out of slavery. But they wanted a king, like all the other nations. Do we see ourselves wanting to be like others instead of the people God has made us to be as individuals? Do we feel the pressure to conform? That's question one. Saul was a head taller than the others. And he was a very impressive young man. And he's out looking for some lost donkeys without success when his servant suggests that they go and consult Samuel, the prophet. Now, they meet Samuel, but Samuel has already had an encounter with God where he knows what God wants him to do with Saul. So Samuel and Saul eat together. Now, that might seem an ordinary kind of thing, but for Saul from the smallest tribe and the smallest clan, really sort of thought, well, Samuel, you're the prophet. I shouldn't be eating with you. You should be eating with people who are much higher up in the pecking order. But despite his protests, Saul went and ate with Samuel. We begin to see a little of Saul's character here, showing his feeling of being inferior, maybe a bit insecure, because he comes from the smallest tribe and the smallest clan in that tribe. But Samuel anoints Saul king. And this act was seen as a religious act of making the king to be God's representative of the people. And the oil would have been mixed with myrrh and other expensive spices and was poured over Saul's head, symbolizing the power of the Holy Spirit in Saul's life and as a reminder to him of his responsibility to lead his people by God's wisdom and not his own. In other words, although Saul was king, he was still under Yahweh, God's direction. And kingship was a new institution for the Israelites, so Saul would be a little bit unsure about what to do. So to help him understand that this really was the Lord's doing, he was given three signs. First of all, he was going to meet the men and be told that the donkeys had been found. This was a sign to remind him he could put the past behind him. And this is something God asks us to do. Sometimes the past keeps jumping up into your life and you're sort of thinking, oh, I did that, and you remind it again and again. But God wants you to put the past behind you. So if it jumps out at you, remember, go back to God and ask him to help you leave it behind. The second meeting was with the three men, and this was to reassure him that the Israelites would recognize him as king, because one of the gifts they were carrying was bread. And this would have been taken to be offered at a shrine and would not be given to anyone apart from someone of high status. Another sign for Saul that God is in all this. The third sign, the gift of the Spirit, would give him the reassurance that he would be equipped for leadership. And we see how the Holy Spirit came on Saul and gave him the power to do what God asked him. It did not always produce all the fruits of the Spirit. As we read on with Saul, we find that he blossomed under the Holy Spirit's guidance and became a different person. Unfortunately, as we will discover, as we read on through 1 Samuel, as his power grew, so did his pride. And ultimately, he refused to seek God's advice and listen to him. But that's for a few weeks' time. It's a beautiful description of how Saul was to meet these various people, to be given bread, to receive the Holy Spirit. There's almost a festival kind of atmosphere about it. And we note that God changed Saul's heart so that what Samuel had told him would happen did happen. So Saul, from the least clan of the least tribe of Israel, feeling a bit inferior, is changed by God as he receives the Holy Spirit and becomes king. I wonder if that can happen to us as well. I'm not suggesting we're all going to be kings. I think that'd be unlikely. But God can change us through his Holy Spirit, and we find ourselves doing things that maybe we didn't expect or didn't think we could. Look at Paul in the New Testament, how he was changed from persecutor to believer and went out to seek people and share the good news of Jesus with them. So what about us? God can work change in us too. But question two, are we willing to be changed? So all three signs are fulfilled, and Saul goes back to Gibeah, a town with a Philistine outpost, which suggests that Israel was maybe a bit weak at this time. People wondered what on earth had happened to Saul. I mean, they'd seen him prophesying. And I mean, if you were to do strange things like that, people would wonder when you were just an ordinary person. And interestingly, when Saul meets his uncle, he tells him that he knows he's found the donkeys, but he doesn't tell that he has been anointed king. It was a bit of a secret at this stage. Then Samuel calls all the people of Israel to Mizpah, which was a meeting place, a place of assembly for the Israelites. He tells them again that their desire for a king means that they are in defiance of God. The God who has saved them out of Israel, who has brought them out of Egypt in slavery, and they are rejecting him. And they're putting into the hands of their king decisions that would previously have been made by God. Question three, How do we make decisions? Do we put them before God? So the Israelites came before Samuel, and all the tribes were called, and Benjamin, the tribe, the smallest tribe, was called. And from it, the smallest clan, the clan of Matri, was chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. And even at this point, Saul, a humble and modest man, is hiding. He's hiding among the baggage. But he is given instant recognition by the assembly of Israelites, and they acclaim him as king. King by acclamation of the people, chosen by the people for the people, but the secrecy is now revealed to us. God's hand was in it all the time. And as Saul was made king, he was given instructions about how to be king. Things like, don't acquire more horses than you need. Don't have many wives or your heart will be led astray. Don't accumulate large quantities of silver and gold. And this all comes from a document in Deuteronomy where this has been laid down. And Saul's to have a written copy of these laws to read every day so that he will revere God and carefully follow the words of the law and not consider himself better than his brothers. Remember, Saul as king came with a warning. King will do things which you may not like, was what the Israelites had been told. Your sons will be sent to war, your daughters may be taken as servants and slaves. So, do we feel the pressure to conform? Are we willing to be changed? How do we make decisions? Do we put them before God? In the light of this story of Saul and of our New Testament word in Matthew, let's take this a little further. Jesus went around preaching and healing and sharing the good news. He had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and helpless. Do you feel like that sometimes? I bet you do. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus turned to his disciples. The harvest is plentiful. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out to the harvest field. Here in a rural community, we're more aware of farming and the problems it can bring. The harvest, which is dependent on weather, on the soil, the rain, the fertilizers, but we depend on the harvest for our daily food, as well as harvests from miles away, a global harvest. But Jesus is talking about so much more than food. He's talking about the harvest of people, being compassionate to all, sharing his love and care with all. Despite their rejection of God, the Israelites were given a king, and ultimately another king would be chosen in the line from whom Jesus was descended. And despite their rejection, God cared. He was compassionate, and through his great love and concern for mankind, he gave us Jesus. We are called to be workers in this harvest, bringing others to know Jesus. We are called to be a prayer powerhouse here in Kemeny to enable us to share something that is too good not to share. We know Jesus and the difference he can make in our lives. We can read of God's great work with the Israelites delivering them from slavery, allowing Saul to be anointed king at their request, walking with them despite their rejection of him, and ultimately giving us Jesus, allowing us, as the hymn writer puts it, to be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. What grace, what compassion we receive. How can we not respond? But remember, Jesus comes with a warning too.
He comes to disturb the comfortable and to comfort the disturbed. And he will do that in our lives too. So let me just remind you of the three questions again. Do we feel the pressure to conform? To conform to what others do and have? Are we willing to be changed? Are we willing to be workers in God's harvest? How do we make decisions? Do we put them before God? Let's ask God to help us be harvest workers as we come before him, bringing our concerns, accepting his great love for us, sharing him with others. This all needs to be grounded in prayer. Whoever we are, whatever we see our abilities to be, we can pray. But don't be surprised if the Lord takes you beyond your comfort zone, as he did with Saul. He will also provide the necessary means. Amen. Will you allow the Lord to send you? Let's sing about it. I, the Lord of sea and sky.
I have heard my people cry. Let us come together with love in our hearts to pray for those in our world. Let us pray. Here in Kemney this week, there has been a nip in the air. The seasons are changing. The leaves on the trees are beginning to parade their colours. The birds are congregating before flying off to warmer climes. And we are replacing our summer clothes with warmer, more sturdy garb. With these obvious physical changes, we can appreciate the wonderfully kaleidoscopic environment which you have created. We are so lucky to experience this. Thank you, Lord. We are aware that weather patterns are also changing and that we should take more cognizance of this. Help us to be more proactive, to protect this beautiful world, especially for our children and future generations. Water. We seem to have lots of it, such heavy downpours which cause so much damage to our lives, our homes, our road structures. Yet, there are areas in our world that have not experienced rain for some time. We hear of bushfires in Bolivia, southern France, the US, Portugal, and also deliberate fires in Brazil. But to extinguish these, water is required. Some of the more affluent countries have set procedures in place for day zero, when there is no longer enough water. Guide all countries, Lord, to follow this example. We remember 1985 when Midgeur and Bob Geldof brought the famine in Ethiopia to our attention in Live Aid. Yet 34 years on, drought and famine are still issues in the poorer countries of Africa. The underlying problem of desert encroachment has still not been addressed. And with modern technology, the inhabitants realize there are more opportunities in Europe. We pray that the world leaders become less insular and develop a broader understanding of our whole planet's inequalities and work together to help everyone. As we travel locally, the crops have been harvested, the fields have been ploughed in preparation for next year's planting. It's a busy time for farmers. We thank them for their endless toil to provide sustenance for us. We pray that everyone here can be warm and have enough food throughout the winter months. We thank you, Lord, that we can be of help both physically by donating food, and financially, so that the volunteers of the Inverurie Food Bank can help those less fortunate. We thank you, Lord, and we are so glad that assistance is available. Brexit continues to dominate our news. Political games continue to be played. Patience is being stretched, and rhetoric has become inflammatory. Please, Lord, help us all to be more mindful of the words we use and the actions we take so that we do not hurt others or cause offence. May respect for others be more prominent in all walks of life. Dear Lord, be especially with all those who are suffering pain, illness, loss, or turmoil of any kind in their daily lives. We know that you are with them, and we pray that your strength will sustain them through these trying times. We take a little time to name these people in silence to you today, Lord. Lord, be the fire in our hearts, the wind in our sails, and the reason that we live. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. So let's give thanks to our awesome God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Let's join and sing. Workers in your harvest, help us to pray, listen, and speak with you to your glory. And may God's grace fall like golden leaves, gently and silently around you, and those that you love this day and always, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one of you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.